Number 14. Now, I've had several different things on my mind this week that I've been thinking about preaching about this morning. I thought about one thing, moved on to something else, and this morning I'm going to come back to the first thing I was thinking about. And really and truly, I hope this will be a blessing today. John chapter number 14, but the choir. Before we went to Sunday school, I don't know if you noticed, there was a recurring theme in all the songs. And they sang about heaven this morning. And that's what got me thinking about the first thing that I was thinking about. And this is talking about the place that Jesus said he had gone to prepare for us. And I want us to read in John chapter 14 in verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today, and I pray and I ask that you would help us as we look into your precious word today. I pray for liberty. I pray for freedom of thought. Lord, we've preached upon this down through the years many times. Preached series on heaven before. But Lord, a lot of times we just get to going along in life and we just about forget about heaven. I mean, we sing about it and we talk about it, but we don't really take time sometimes to stop and really think about that you have gone to prepare a place for us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that the Spirit of God would just have a free course today. And Lord, that those that are here in our midst that maybe have never been saved before, Lord, I pray you'd convict them. I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. Lord, if we miss heaven, if we miss eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, we've missed everything. We've lost everything. Nothing else matters that we would accumulate or gain in this world if we die without Christ. Lord, how serious this is today. Please have your way, and we'll thank you for everything that you do. I pray you would encourage the saints of God and comfort those that have lost loved ones and just help as only you can. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I know you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, and it's a great passage of Scripture. We use it a lot of times. When we're talking about heaven, we use it maybe at funerals, times like that, times when we need comfort. If you look there in verse number 1, that's what the Lord Jesus, he was encouraging the disciples there. He told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And it's just good sometimes for us to take some time and to think about heaven. We think about our home, not just our home. We have homes down here, but you know, our homes down here are just temporary. We're only going to be in our homes down here for a relatively, compared to eternity, not even a blip on the radar. A very, very short period of time. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. I've always wanted to bring a tea kettle to church and plug it up. And it won't take just a minute. The steam will begin to come out of it. And just for a visual illustration, that is what God says our lives are like. It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our homes down here are very, very temporary. Our home in heaven is going to be for all of eternity. It's going to last forever and ever and ever. Nothing will be measured by time in the future. But we're talking about where we're going to spend eternity. And so the Lord Jesus and the context here, the disciples are troubled. There's troubling things. He's been talking about going away. He's been talking about leaving them. He's been talking about dying. He's been, and I can just see the scene there in the upper room as the Lord Jesus meets with the disciples. You know, next Sunday is Easter. We probably will be preaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is before that. And so I would say on that night, the mood was very sober. The mood was very serious. And even the Lord Jesus, I'm sure, he could tell the anxiety of the disciples. But you know, in the midst of all of that, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be bothered. Don't let this carry you away with heartache and sorrow. You believe in God, believe also in me. And there's just some things down through these verses that I want to try to point out this morning to just get our thoughts and our minds and our hearts on heaven. I don't think I preach on heaven too much. Could you preach on heaven too much? They said about Mays Jackson that that when he went to preach for a certain preacher down in North Carolina, I'll not mention his name, but that preacher, he preached on hell all the time. I mean, he just all the time he preached on it. And they said when Mays Jackson come to preach for him, that they went to him and said, "Brother Mays, what's this heaven thing you're talking about?" They had heard all kinds of preaching on hell, but they was joking with him, act like they hadn't heard much on heaven. I'll tell you, we need a balance between the two because they're both a reality. They're both real places, but we're going to think about heaven this morning. Number one, in verses 2 and 3, I find there that we learn that heaven is a prepared place. And if we could only preach one point this morning, that's what I would begin with and get us to thinking about. Verse 2, the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Look what he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, I'm going to tell you what got me to really thinking about this to begin with. I guess probably everybody in here, I know you know about it. You've probably been there this week, but you know, we got a new grocery store in Boone. And I'll tell you, if you would think with all of the talk that's going on, with all of the people that have gone through there, you would think that in Watauga County we'd never had a new grocery store. But you know, I've sort of watched that. I guess it's been maybe about a year now. There's been a lot of work going into that. They tore down the old Kmart building. I mean, leveled it. It all looked like a bomb had went off. And then they begin to start to build back, and they begin to rework the whole foundation and built the walls and fixed the parking lot. And you know, we've all sort of, and when all that began to go on, people begin to talk, you know, "What's it going to be? What's it going to be?" And word got out, "Oh, it's going to be a new grocery store." And you know, you see that throughout the year they fix the parking lot back where they tore it all to pieces and paved it, and landscaping and lighting, and the outside of the building went from cinder block, and then the nice decoration. And boy, if you went in there this coming week, and I went in one morning, looked around, got all the free samples I could get, and just enjoyed it. But you think about all the preparation that went into that, all the stock. There's been people coming and working on that thing. And I mean, the parking lot's been full for weeks, and they're putting new product in there and shelves in there, and they're training employees, and they're doing all this thing. Think about all the preparation that has went into that, and all the excitement in the community, and all the people that have went in there and looked around, and all of these things. And I just thought about that. If people get excited about a grocery store, why don't we get more excited about heaven? Why don't we talk more about heaven? Why don't we think more about heaven? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you think about if you walk in a grocery store and say, man, that's nice. Think about the place the Lord Jesus is going to prepare for us. Think about the angels, I don't know. Think about those that are working on the place up there. I mean, it's not just the sight, but it's the smells and everything that goes into that. That's right beside where I get my hair cut. Got my hair cut a couple of weeks ago, and man, I thought the smells coming out of the bakery there was just, it just made me want to go in there and taste what was going on. It's not just what you see. It's not just what you walk through, but it's what we as God's people one of these days are going to get to enjoy and experience, and praise the Lord, it's not going to cost you anything. Price has already been paid. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If men can work and make something nice, think about what the Lord Jesus can prepare for His children, and every little detail and all the work that goes into it is going to be for the eternity of God's children to spend together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that ought to excite us. It is a prepared place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a prepared place. It is a promised place. In verse number 2, the Bible said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if this was just a fairy tale, if this is just something that was a Jewish tradition or something they had passed down, the Lord Jesus said, if it wasn't so, if it wasn't real, I'd have told you. I'd have been truthful with you about it. But He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. 2 Peter 3:13 says this, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You say, old preacher, can we really believe all the Bible says about that? I do. We look for that according to His promise. And I read in the Bible that the fact that God cannot lie, and He's never lied yet. I've never found anything in His Word that was not exactly true. He's promised all these things, and He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm glad as we think about heaven this morning, it's not just some kind of fairy tale. It's not something that we think might be real. It's not just something that we talk about when a loved one passes away, that, you know, we hope they've gone to a better place. Hope it's out there somewhere. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something that somebody dreamed up in some book for children. It's not something that we're taking a chance and, oh, we're going to see if this is a reality one day. We know according to the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He's never broken His Word. He had no reason to lie. He said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. If you're putting your hopes and dreams on something that's not a reality, the Lord Jesus said, I'd have told you that. Aren't you glad for that this morning? He said, I'd have been honest with you. I'd have told you, I'd have said, fellas, you got your hopes all built up and it's not that great. And, you know, don't dwell on this. Just, you know, but that's not what the Lord said. He said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. Let me go farther and tell you this. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And furthermore, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm going to come back and get you. This is a real place. This is a promised place that we read about and we think about all throughout the Word of God. A promised place. A prepared place. I thought about this. Heaven is a pristine place. You know, he said there in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. I went to a funeral one time, and the fellow that was talking, speaking at the funeral, he didn't have a King James Bible. And he got up and he read out of his book that he had there, and he said something like this. It didn't say mansions in his book. He said, he got a bunch of rooms there. He didn't say a bunch of rooms, but it took out the word mansions and put in rooms. They got rooms in jail. They got rooms in the hospital. Who likes to think about that? Jesus didn't say, in my Father's house are many rooms. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. I've heard people sing songs and they say, oh, you know, I think even in our songbook it's got something about just a cabin over the hilltop or something like that. I mean, cabin would be all right. But it's nothing compared to a mansion. And really and truly, a cabin's a lot of hard work. You got to chop your wood and carry your wood in. And when I used to be in the building supply industry years ago, everybody wanted a log home, except people that had them. And they decided that they didn't want a log home as bad as they thought they did when they got their brand new log home all built. And you know, all this is the best thing it ever was. And they woke up one morning, looked out through the wall, and could see light on the other side. Then your dream becomes a nightmare, a money pit. If you live in a log home, I'm not throwing off. I don't know of anybody that does. But I like that sound of mansions a whole lot better. The Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. People say, oh, I'd be happy in a shack. Yeah, I know you would. I know it'd still be heaven and everything. But that's not what the Lord said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Let me tell you, mansions are more than just great big buildings, great big homes to live in. The few mansions that I've been to, you know what mansions have? Mansions have grounds. Ever thought about that? You ever been to the Biltmore House? That's a mansion. One of the great things about going to the Biltmore House is it is not just the house, but I'm telling you, you get out there on the grounds and you see the way it's kept up and, you know, you go out into the garden out there and every time you go, it's something different, something different. There's a lot more to a mansion than just a big house to live in. You've got the grounds that you live on. You've got in a mansion, you've got the inhabitants that are there. You have other buildings that are there. It's a prepared place. It's a pristine place. Some of you have been watching the Masters this week. You ever watch the Masters on television, the golf tournament? I know some of you have because somebody mentioned to me, said, are we going to postpone church an hour Sunday night. We're not going to. You can DVR it or whatever and watch it when you get home. But you know the thing about the Masters, if you know anything about the Masters, it's one of the oldest golf tournaments. It's one of the most sought after, and it is different than all the others. And one of the things that they capitalize on is that the grounds are, that in the golf world, is almost holy ground. Not a blade of grass is ever out of place. All the TV cameras are designed to focus on the most beautiful part, and all the different holes have names like Magnolia and Honey Blot. I don't know what they all are, but you know, it's all designed to show the world this pristine, I mean, this is top of the line. The people that go, they're not fans, they're even called something different. They're spectators. I think that's what they call them. And it's all just different. But you know, I watched a few minutes of it the other night, and it had a camera angle shot, and it was looking over the green, and I mean, it all is beautiful, and the flowers, and I think it's the azaleas or whatever it is. I mean, it's just pristine. But I noticed that under one of them bridges that it looked like it needed some work. I mean, it just looked out of place. It just looked like a concrete and metal botched up under there. And I just thought to myself, that just is out of place. That just don't look right because it's all supposed to be perfect. But you know, when you get to heaven and stroll around, what you're going to find? Not a blade of grass is going to be out of place. Everything, maintenance-wise, nobody's going to go through and say, the door jamb is out of square. And the drywall, I don't think there'll be drywall in heaven, but you know, the wall's cracked over there. Not going to find a brush pile in heaven. It's all going to be pristine. It's all going to be perfect. The look, the smell, the sounds, everything. Not a foul word, not a foul sight, not a thing. Not a thing for anybody. The most critical among us, you know, we've all met people and say, you know, they wouldn't be happy in heaven. But everybody's going to be happy and satisfied in heaven. They're not going to find one thing that's out of place. What a great, great place the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare for us. It's a pristine place. Number four this morning, it is a peaceful place. The Bible said in verse number one, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I've already given a little bit of the context about what was going on. The disciples there and their hearts were troubled about the events. And the Lord Jesus, just in chapter 13, verses 36, 37, and 8, the Lord Jesus had told Peter, you know, you're going to deny me. That's troubling. That bothers me. We think about this life as we go on. You know what? We're going to fail the Lord. We're going to be faced with trials and temptations and heartaches and pain and all these things. And the Lord comes along and He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. It's going to be a peaceful place without turmoil and without doubt and without uncertainty and without war and violence. Been thinking about that this week. I heard the news the other day that we had launched missiles into Syria, and Russia is upset, and Syria is upset. And I mean, and let me say that trouble in the Middle East is not new news. There's always trouble and turmoil and things going on. But it just seems like that it's like a fire. That at any moment it could just get so out of control that it would consume the whole world. World War III. Lots of, if you like to worry, watch the news a whole lot. There's lots of things that really, if we sat down and thought about it, we could be very troubled about. I told Kim this morning, we were talking about the future and things down the road. And I said, well, a year from now, barring a World War III or some great catastrophe like that, isn't it sad that we have to factor things like war and violence and all of these things into the plans of our lives? I told somebody else about something coming up in July. I said that would be good. We'll plan on that, Lord willing. But we really don't know, do we? Everything might go on. It might be all right. We might just go on with our plans that we have made to do this thing or that thing. But I'm telling you, the whole world could combust in turmoil overnight and all of our lives be changed. And we think about all these things, terrorism and crime and on and on and on we could go. And it's like this big dark cloud that hangs over all the time. But do you know in heaven, there'll be no police officers because there'll be no lawbreakers. You won't have to go down the streets of heaven and say, isn't this great? And see somebody over there holding an M16, you know, just to keep everybody in line. Not going to have to worry about that. Not going to have to worry about war. Not going to have to worry about violence. Not going to have to worry about sin. Praise the Lord. That's shouting grounds right there. You're not going to have to worry about somebody getting cancer and dying and what does the future hold and how are we going to care for? How are we going to take care? How are we going to deal with this down the road? Not going to have to worry about that in heaven. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Revelation 21 and verse number 3. The Bible said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's some things that you're not going to miss. Be all right to not miss pain and sorrow and crying. You know, it's just a part of our lives. It's just factored in. Nobody thinks that everything from this day forward is just going to be perfect. If you know anything about life, you know you're going to have problems, pain, and heartache, and sorrow, but not in heaven. All of those things are going to be wiped away. All of those things are going to be just former things. Former things. But they're not going to be present things. And so the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, in light of, there's going to be some problems and some sad days. And even the next day, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to die upon the cross for their sins. But He pointed them forward to a time when they weren't going to have to worry about those things anymore. The former things are going to be passed away. Heaven is going to be a peaceful place. Last of all this morning, heaven is going to be a personal place. If you look in verse number 2, look what the Bible says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, He said. In verse number 3, He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there ye may be also. See those personal pronouns the Lord has put in there? He didn't open up the windows and shout it to everybody on the street. Hey, I'm going to prepare a place for everybody out there. Well, it's for everybody that will come. But if you don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and God's people in heaven, He's not going to make you go there. It's a personal place. It is a personal place. If you look on down in verse number 6, you'll find the only way to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven by believing in Allah. You can't go to heaven by being a good person. You can't go to heaven by believing in the Pope. You cannot go to heaven by believing in the Virgin Mary. You cannot go to heaven by your good works. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. Verse 5. But verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. Peter said in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to heaven, and it's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. You talk about being narrow-minded. The Lord Jesus was very narrow. The broad way, He said in Matthew chapter number 7, leadeth unto destruction. The narrow way leads unto life, and few there be that go in there at. You must be saved in order to go to heaven. You must be born again. You must have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus said, I am the way. There's only one way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, a lot of times, most of the time, when people die, people that are left, whether they believe in anything or not, people say, well, Grandpa's in heaven now. Grandma's in heaven now. Grandma's with her mama, with her daddy. Daddy's going on to be with his wife. Isn't that what they say? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they even believe it or not. Let me tell you, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're not going to heaven when you die. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Old people don't go to heaven just because they're old and maybe they got so old they quit being mean. Nobody remembers when they used to be so mean and they got old and couldn't do nothing, settled down a little bit, and then they die and they say, well, Grandma went to heaven. Not if she wasn't saved. And not being mean and saying that, that's just the truth. It's loving to tell people that while they're living. See, everybody here this morning, you're living. I can tell. I can look and see you're breathing and your heads are nodding and everything like that. And so I know you're alive. And so there's hope for all of us here today. Young, middle, old, it does not matter. But I'll tell you, you have got to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a great guy. Nicodemus was a religious leader. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament better than you and I. But the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. There's only one way to heaven. If you're not saved, if you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you're not saved. People say, have you been saved? Yes, I was baptized when I was 10. That's not being saved. Yes, I was sprinkled when I was a child. That's not being saved. Yes, I've joined the church. Yes, my parents were Christians. My grandma loved the Lord. None of that stuff is going to matter when you die. What's going to matter is what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Have you had a personal experience of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ? But I want to point out something before I close this morning. We talk about heaven, we talk about dying, but the context of this scripture is not dying. He's not talking to the disciples about when they die. He is talking to the disciples about when He comes again. Now, none of us know when we're going to die. But we hope that it's going to be a long ways down the road, don't we? I mean, very few people live with the idea, I might die tomorrow or the next day. Most of us, we think about death and we think about a long ways down the road. That's what we're hoping for anyway. But the Lord Jesus is not talking about dying. He's talking about when He comes again. Look in verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's talking about when He comes again. None of us knows when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. Young people might think, well, I'm going to be around a long time. You might live a long time, but the Lord might come tomorrow. And when the Lord comes, all of us are in the same boat. We're all going at the same time, or we're all not going together. That's what the Lord was talking about. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And the coming again of the Lord is something that could happen at any moment. It could happen before the day's out. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be good? But most people don't live like he's going to come before the day's out. Matthew 24 and 44, the Bible says over there, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now I know that's talking about the second coming, his bodily coming. But the coming of the Lord Jesus in the rapture for his saints could happen at any moment, at any time. Here today, gone in the next moment. And I believe the Lord allows things to happen in the world to get us sometimes out of our comfort zone and at least thinking about the coming of the Lord. When I see missiles begin to fly in the Middle East, and I see Israel begin to get involved, and I look in my Bible in Isaiah, and it talks about Syria over there, and it talks about Syria is going to be destroyed to the point that nothing is left. You know that could happen before the Lord comes in the rapture. There's a lot of things happening in the world that people, they look in the Bible and they say, the Bible's being fulfilled, the Bible's being fulfilled. What do you mean? We're living in perilous times. We're living in times falling away. There's a lot of things. We're living in times where Israel is becoming more and more annihilated in the world. Do you know one of these days all the nations of the world are going to gather together against Israel? We see all that happening all round about us. I'll tell you what you really need to be worried about this morning is not what's happening in Syria, but what's happening inside your heart. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, you can let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can lay down and have rest at night, no matter what happens in the world. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.